coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome. You're about to hear yet another episode of the series called Faith That Functions. Today we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 16 to 21. This is the epistle lesson for the fourth Sunday in Lent. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." If you had to choose one, what would be the word you would use to describe all of Holy Scripture? What collapsed word best describes all of God's being and doing? It's not an idle exercise, is it? It's a good question to get us thinking again about the nature of God. The Gospel of John begins with one of the most fascinating entries in all of literature. "In the beginning was the Word." And then John adds, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." All of God's promises of joy and pain are reduced or compacted into that which became flesh, namely Jesus Christ. In this sense, we can actually say the ultimate Word is the Word, that is Christ. But what is the penultimate Word? It is that which God has done in Christ. In the Divine Comedy by Dante, we are given another example where someone has collapsed the story of heaven and even hell into a single word, and I will even say that it is done quite well. Before I tell you this word, I will again say that it summarizes the whole purpose of Holy Scripture and God revealing his will to mankind. This word has two faces. On the one hand, it reminds us that this world is tragically broken, dissipated, and alienated, and on the other hand is part of a unification whereby perfection and original creation may one day be returned. The word is reconciliation. So that's the one word I believe is the most descriptive of God's action in all of Holy Scripture, namely the line from our text, "In Christ God was reconciling the world to himself." In the classical tradition, comedy meant happily ever after, because everyone was reconciled to everyone else, unlike today's sitcoms that draw on the pet peeves and quirks about everyone else's personalities, either among their friends or in their family, and we don't necessarily want to see them get along but fight and squabble and laugh over a miscommunication. And if you want something done right, you do it yourself. We certainly don't need a God to help us. No. Once upon a time, comedies like The Divine Comedy, again by Dante, asserted that reconciliation was the most healthy thing for any relationship. And in this particular comedy, we even see the truth in how the whole world is again reconciled to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. From that, we can then assert that it is a Christian comedy. What could be more warming to the Christian heart? This comedy draws on the notion that as well as not being reconciled to God as sinners, because Christ had to take our place, for a while even Jesus was not reconciled. Until he took the punishment for sin, even Jesus was waiting to reconcile himself and therefore all mankind with him. But it wasn't a reconcilement for his sin, just a fulfilling of his submission to the Father, but of course the reconcilement of your and my sin. So this notion is drawn out a bit. How absurd would it be for God the Father to not be reconciled to the Son? to have that connection missing? Could there really be such an alienation where the unity of the Trinity is even temporarily broken? The answer is perhaps beyond human understanding, but the essence is that for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, the last verse of our text. That's the essence of reconciliation according to Holy Scripture, and while we may not have complete comprehension of how that plays out in the Godhead, the point is we are reconciled to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. See how often this seems to be the point throughout the Scriptures. In our Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah writes that it is God who acts, and we see how it is his action that impacts our thinking and doing. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It almost seems superfluous to point out that the Gospel from Luke 15 is all about reconciliation, because it is the narrative of the prodigal son. And the whole detailed story has one astounding obvious point. The alienation and brokenness between the father and the son has been, by virtue of the father's act, bridged, that is, reconciled. The reason I use superfluous is that we've read and heard the story of the prodigal son so often, and we just say to ourselves, oh yeah, that's about the kid who went off and squandered his inheritance and came sheepishly home, not to an irate father, but to a welcoming and amazing homecoming party, whereat the father declares that he and his son are reconciled. Why does Jesus tell that story? Because guess what? Your heavenly Father will welcome you in the same way when you come back to him in repentance because of him. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with more on what it is for Christ to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Again, I am Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
The cantatas of J.S. Bach form one of the most impressive musical achievements in the history of Western music. Over a period of several years, Bach wrote a new cantata every week to adorn the worship of the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig. A breathtaking task, producing some of the world's greatest church music.
Pastor Tapanissima Yoki combines profound Lutheran theology with exquisite music as he introduces a cantata written by Bach for each Sunday of the church year.
Sunday Cantata. Tune in to enjoy great Christian teaching through delightful music.
Go to lutheran.co.uk for times and podcasts.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about summarizing the Word of God with one word. Not that it is really possible, but that we can better focus on what it is that God wants to tell us. It's quite simply this. We are reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. We look to our text and we see how God has reconciled the whole world to himself. And so to use this parable rightly as a metaphor, there is absolutely nothing the Son could have done whereby he could, by his actions, be reconciled to his Father. Because it isn't about what the Son has done, but how forgiving the Father is. Note that the Son doesn't just squander all the money and then lust for food fed to the most hated animal, the Hebrews. He has violated in every way the kosher practices of the covenant between God and man. And he has the audacity to come back and try to renegotiate a peace of some sort. All the while his older brother is a model son and yet receives little, if any, praise. Indeed, this parable would better be called the forgiving father as opposed to the prodigal son. However, the latter does emphasize the repentance of the son. But most important is to realize the profound love with which the Father indeed has in order that there might be reconciliation between Father and Son, and not just the prodigal son. But more of that in a second. First, note that he completely ignores the request of the first son to be a servant, but is restored to his former status as a son with all the benefits a son would receive. Would the father have sacrificed a fattened calf for a slave? This is a concept even better in line with how we are reconciled to God. If we had any sense, we might do the same and plead to God to have mercy on us because of our sin and try to receive us in his good graces, perhaps as slaves, that he might not destroy us because of our sin. Surely in all humbleness we could not ask for any more. But of course, as Christians, we know better. That God not only promises that we have been adopted as sons of God again through the waters of holy baptism, but that we have also been given a new inheritance and are heirs once again to his heavenly kingdom. It's almost as if the prodigal son had come back, and then not only did the father restore him to being a son, he gave him an even greater inheritance than that which he left with in the first place to go squander. The other amazing point to this parable is the relationship between the brothers, and this is what I spoke of earlier. Though they both address their father, the father addresses the situation of them both to the older son. We can see this as mirrored in the Lord's Prayer. Reconcile as I have reconciled. Forgive as I have forgiven. The idea is that just as the father has reconciled both sons, they should be reconciled with one another. One was declared lost and dead, but now found and raised. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3. So one way to look at it is that none of the sons were perfect, whether they stayed behind and looked after the farm or property, or ran away. All needed reconciliation, and all were reconciled. The most important word in the whole of Scripture is reconciliation, because as it can be seen by these few verses, it is the most concise, inspiring statement of the ministry of Christ's people. It clearly and explicitly states the one necessary action called for. Through it we are assured that the world may learn that in Christ God is reconciling the world to himself. In certain Bibles you have titles that outline sections of Scripture, and in some editions you will have this title given for this pericope, the ministry of reconciliation. And that is exactly what is presented here. The first verse reminds us that we, in this new ministry, through baptism, as children of God, begin with a new point of view. And not from a human perspective, we're given a heavenly or godly perspective. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. And since we have a change in perception or vision from the human to divine, then we too are different and need to act and speak differently. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Why? Because we are now reconciled with God. That changes everything. Even my goodness changes. It's more godly. I'm being sanctified by the Spirit in his grace. What a privilege it is to no longer think of ourselves as but mere fallen creatures, but having renewed spirits, not just earthly creatures but divine creatures, that shall one day be restored to their original perfected state. So this ministry isn't just about changing our perspective or perception of ourselves. God really does mean to live in us for the good of our neighbor. God declares that there will be forthcoming changes in our lives because of the results of this ministry of reconciliation. People need to see that all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation in the first place. And so here it is fitting to reiterate the Great Commission from Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. This is, of course, couched in terminology that parallels the dynamic between the minister and audience. The minister of reconciliation is always within the community of God's people, those who are in Christ. And it is in our text where Paul explains the essence of the act of God regarding reconciliation. It involves the centrality of the need for reconciliation because of sin, our trespasses, as we say in the Lord's Prayer. The brokenness, alienation, and disunity caused by sin have passed away because of the new vision and is continually communicated to us by his ministers. Thus, verse 19 states, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. This focal point of our ministry fits together with the astounding claim that we, yes, we, are God's righteousness. Paul writes, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Perhaps the idea of suggesting that the centrality of Scripture can be reduced to one word, and that the six verses Paul wrote regarding the ministry of reconciliation can serve as the distillation of a Christian's calling, may seem simplistic, and yet there is something to the axiom, focus and simplify, that can guide our thinking into the way of peace. But in any case, may the word of this minister ever ring true in your ears and in your hearts, that you are reconciled to our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.